Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mars is bright tonight. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as your friendly tech wizard, and former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the Flannel Wizard, yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours. What if I just kept changing my voice throughout the intro, and I just kept going in different directions with it? Wouldn't that be crazy? It's Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hiya. Schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 23rd episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will discuss Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, Chapter 15, The Forbidden Forest. Before we fire up today's chapter discussion, we will do our cottage catch-up quiz bill with maybe one trivia question and expand our knowledge about magical and fantastic beasts. Mars is bright tonight, sweetie. How are you doing?
Yeah, I think when Mars is bright, I'm doing well. Can I tell you something about astronomy that I know?
Oh, please.
So I think they call it, and I'm gonna Google it. I wasn't planning on doing this. The Saturn return. So let me see. Yeah. A Saturn return happens approximately every 29.5 years, the duration of Saturn's orbit around the sun, which means it lands in the same place in the sky it did when you were born, roughly around the time you turned 29.
Oh my gosh!
So you are about to have, I hope you don't mind if I disclose your age, you little youngster, but yeah, you're going to come into your Saturn return. Right?
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Your Saturn return sort of means, it could indicate, right, a person who crosses over a major threshold and enters into the next stage of life. So, I told people for like, 2-3 years, yeah, I'm going through my Saturn return. I just held on to that 29. I was like, still going through the Saturn return. No, just taking my time, going through the return. But I think it's funny. Yeah. So yeah, the first Saturn return, a person leaves youth behind and enters adulthood. Isn't that amazing? We get to just be in our youth up until we're 29. Some of you out there didn't realize that, did you? I still think I'm in my youth. All right. I still think I'm a young old man. So
you are.
I know. Thanks. Anyway, yeah. So we reference that because again, we've got some of you maybe know more about the stars and the heavens and how what all these your zodiac sign and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say his name? Friends.
Frenzy.
Frenzy talks about, they're talking about the planets and viewing all that stuff, which we'll get into later. Remember Dumbledore's watch?
Mm.
Or was it his locket or his, what it was, his, the thing that,
yeah,
his
that watch we talked that about. Like, yeah, we had that had all on the different one of the EEs.
Planets
yeah.
and the dials and
yes.
stuff. We assume it's planet. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy to think about. I wonder if he's checking, for his, how many Saturn returns do you think he's had? Probably quite a few.
Oh, they assume that he's 150 years old, but do we ever get his exact age?
I don't know. But
hey, you are what?
Yeah.
I know I gotta ask your zodiac sign, but I.
Ooh, it's always really close.
Right, it is definitely. So we think it is actually the one that you're not, but you're almost. Because I feel like
I'm on
just
the,
fits
I'm on the cusp.
You so much better.
So I'm December 22nd zodiac sign, which would be Capricorn.
Capricorn, but then the one before that is a...
The 21st. The guy with the bow and arrow.
Right.
Sagittarius.
That would be the one before that, right?
Sagittarius.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know anything about these. I have students who are super into it, and they would talk about it, and they would talk about different, like, I don't know, numbers that were associated with, like, my sign and your personality and all sorts of energies, and it was different.
Wow. But okay, let's see.
They were also carrying around a bunch of, what are they called, tarot cards. So they were definitely, you know.
Okay. October 2022, Sagittarius horoscope, next month's horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
General, the month of October is likely to remain on the positive side for Sagittarius natives. In this period, you can be blessed with favorable results concerning career, financial life, family life, etc. At the same time, the natives may come across several problems in the context of education. Due to the presence of Mars in your house of disease, you may meet with an injury and therefore... I don't want to read... I want to keep reading this.
Why are we reading these?
It's advisable to be cautious while driving. I don't want to read this.
Why
anymore.
Are you? Why did you start this?
I thought
this?
It was something more fun. Like, no, they, you're gonna.
They do positive. Like, they're really cool positive things, and then
wow.
They go to like negative. You know, so. Yeah.
Never mind.
So hold on a second, though. I always thought, because it says the 20. Everywhere you check, I'm a Capricorn. You know.
True. That's not you.
So that's not even me.
I know you.
Eh, not even me.
I know it's not you. Okay, let's see.
But what do they say for Capricorn? Is it just as dark and dreary?
I mean, we learn, actually, that's something we learn from this chapter.
Sea goat? I'm a sea goat? A Capricorn is like, what is a Capricorn? What in the world? This is fascinating. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I think a Capricorn is a goat, yeah.
I'm
not. That's why I'm thinking it's not you. But maybe it is. Okay. Because I'm tired.
Bless me.
It's likely to be favorable for those of Capricorn zodiac sign. In this period, Saturn, the ruling lord of your zodiac sign,
Saturn
mm-hmm. will stay in your first house. Mm-hmm. Owing to this, the natives of this zodiac sign will have positive results. Saturn is the ruling... Wow, I just read this, didn't I? Wow, they totally copy-pasted that again.
That well...
Your second, the house of family wealth, and therefore your family atmosphere may be pleasant and you may be financially strong. Mutual trust and good understanding can grow among family members. At the same time, there are strong possibilities that the natives of this zodiac sign are likely to have monetary benefits. However, some concerns pertaining to career and health may remain there. You may have to put an extra effort in the context of your career. Owing to this, you may experience negative thoughts. From a health perspective, you may suffer from stomach or skin-related problems. Now we are fulfilling your most awaited wish of knowing all the favorable and unfavorable events of this month at length.
I'm out on reading these.
Yeah. Why would
Hold
I
on.
Want to read?
Let me read you a little more favorable one here. So Capricorn okay. personality traits. Saturn, right? Ruling planet. And therefore, the sign of Capricorn is all about what? Authenticity, realness, honesty. Saturn also rules the wisdom of old age. Ooh. Therefore, Capricorn tends to be a sign that's very aware of what's timeless and what's just passed through.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Caps aren't likely to fall for the latest fad or jump on the bandwagon just because everyone else is doing it. So I'll
like
take that and move with it. The write-ups on these are so crazy. I feel like anybody could start one of these and just sort of, you know, put a little flair on, you know.
Yeah.
Where does this come from?
Sorry, but yeah. And that's what Hermione, there's a little foreshadowing in this chapter this week that Hermione does not believe in the art of divination, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least that it's something so complicated that we probably can't predict it to the full, like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
How there's time travel.
Frenzy even says
you?
That too.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, they could be misreading.
Right. right.
misreading,
misinterpreting
the planets.
Yeah.
So yes. I kind of think they are, but anyway. So hey, friends, welcome to our little catch-up session here, right. where we talk about our zodiac signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what's the big catch-up since last time? Since Melissa was here, which was awesome, by the way, Melissa. That was so, so much fun to have
yeah,
you on.
Melissa, I'm just really happy that Burl didn't show up during the episode. I mean, he did a little bit during the reading of our chapter,
no,
which is always
tough. No, that was perfect. I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
We always read that perfectly. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but we do a good job on that. What has been going on? Oh, so here's a big announcement. I have started a different podcast with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got done recording it, Star Wars Hangout.
Yeah.
I just want to mention it. So friends can go check it out.
Yeah.
And we're having fun over there. We're watching the Andor series, and we would love to, again, read anybody's transmissions, meaning emails, thoughts, comments. If you guys like that series, please let us know. We're happy to kind of read those. But I'm sending, you know, a lot of my old subscribers from other projects that way and sending them over here as well, too. So I recently stepped down from a lot of podcasting, actually, and tried to find a bit more normalcy in my life as I navigate new things like college courses and stuff like that. So it's been fun. It's been fun, and it's been busy, and it's been crazy. So yep. There you go. That's sort of our update. We're also a part of the Fansided Network. Thank you, Fansided. Yay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Honestly,
so
it's
exciting.
Awesome, and I'm so pumped. And we also maybe have some big collaborations down the line.
Yes.
Sweetie, we had Melissa on. She's got, like, so cool to see some of her friends reach out and be happy that she was
right.
on an episode and
yes.
featured and stuff like that, because she was a sweetheart.
Yes.
And I really hope, if any of them are interested as well, Lottie
right.
is... Lottie's your gal. She is, like,
yeah.
I don't know, tracking down little creators, and I just love it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and so. In the future, soon, we're going to have Christine and Arnell on, so.
Yes,
definitely.
That'll be fun, too, for sure.
Look forward to that,
mm-hmm.
to meet them, because mm-hmm. they're also very awesome, and Potterheads and Lord of the Rings fans, so we can do a little.
Yeah, a little crossover action.
Yep.
I like
Potter
that.
/ Rings of Power.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, sweetie, going on?
Anything else going on, really? Life is going on. Life is moving forward. Life is good.
Life's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Fall is my favorite time of the year,
yeah.
So that's been awesome, because fall is, like, here in Ohio, so we're getting super pumped, getting the flannel out, we're getting the candles rolling. my dad's already turned the heat on up
yep,
in here,
yep,
so
yeah.
good. Wow, gravy. That's wild. But it's been fun, and I'm enjoying going into the fall and just.
Me too. I was debating whether I should teach at an elementary on October the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That'd be cool.
Is that like a day where kids are just like, oh, whatever, we're just celebrating Halloween here at school?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's tons of tons of candy. There's kids dressed up. Teachers are dressed up,
yeah.
and all that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, yes, I should actually just dress up as a Ravenclaw student.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if elementary kids nowadays recognize that.
Probably.
As a Harry Potter costume.
Probably,
if you put
yeah.
on your robe, your Hogwarts robe.
Yeah, I would say possibly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be cool. Definitely. So, but yeah, that's about it, friends. So just been busy, getting all kind of caught up here and ready to dive into this chapter. So,
yeah, but
before... Oh, I tried to get right past it, and we still got.
Sorry, we have.
Got some dish and trivia.
We have this week. We only have one question, and it's about one of the upcoming chapters. Yes, sir.
Okay, I have my hand raised for you guys who are not able to watch the podcast because it's audio. Is it cool if I you know, I don't know. I always feel like when I'm I've recently left a few podcasting projects where I wasn't allowed to, you know, I was hampered. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I was hampered. Doggone it. I wasn't allowed to sing as loud as I wanted to.
Oh, please sing.
I'm just kidding. People are like, whoa, Matt wouldn't let you. No, I'm kidding. No, I just get silly around you, and I don't know. It's like, it's fun. It's just fun to make funny
voices.
What
do you want to sing?
Well, nothing. I just wanted to make sure I had permission. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. In case you...
You never know when a song might come upon me.
Yeah, you're not going to hear me sing a lot on this podcast because I...
Wait, couldn't we do the... When we get closer to Halloween, we could do the like the frog song or the toad song?
What toad song? Oh, you know, that one, yeah.
You know?
Can I be the toad who just at the end...
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
can I just tell you that I, in my mind, was like, you should say that as a joke, and people would be like, that is so mean. I can't believe as said she could be the toad. Are
Seriously?
You kidding me?
I mean,
but in my mind, I thought, I could make that joke. I'm not going to. And you did for me. Oh, that's great.
That's why we were such a good team.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Question yes. of the week, sweetie.
Uh-huh.
Which chess piece... did Ron step in for in the big chess game at the end of this book?
At the end of this book, I think he stepped in as a knight.
Wow.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
He did.
Let's go.
So what does a knight do? Remember what a knight does on the chess? Yeah. How is he allowed to move?
Typically it looks like sort of like an L shape. It's either, so it's two, it's the only piece that I can actually hop over other pieces, and it actually will go up to and over either left or right one space, as far as I know. I think it can also go forward one space and then to the right or to the left too, so it makes like a nice little L shape, if you will. So
pretty cool.
Can jump
bad.
Over those pawns. Yeah,
do you remember the color, which color they played?
Was he the white knight?
He was the black knight.
Was he black? Okay.
Ron was the black knight.
Let's go. I thought he was. I just wondered what the... But he said, they move first. That's right. So.
Right. Yep. They move first. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, we see that in the movie. Very well done.
Interesting fact about myself. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
I was the former president of chess club. At my high school.
Duh. I knew that.
Yeah, I know you do because you've seen my shirts and you've seen you've heard the stories and stuff. But I think the idea, though, is, well, I mean, the truth is it really wasn't chess club. It was just, we called it chess club and it was like hangout club with some board games. And, you know, it was me and my buddy Tom playing chess. Everybody else was just playing whatever they wanted.
Okay.
Bringing in pop and
donuts.
I mean,
I would have been in that club. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you were president of a club, so there you go.
Yeah. Put on the resume. Oh, it was an officially sanctioned club. We had t-shirts and everything else, and we thought it was official. So
yeah.
There you go. But yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I got one right. Feeling good about that.
Well, we're going to let it be just one question.
Just one. Okay, cool,
today.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
So 100%, sweetie, in the quiz.
Yeah.
Good job. That's an A. just Bill is taking lots of quizzes lately.
Oh, I've been taking so many quizzes. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I appreciate the break this week. I appreciate that.
Okay, let's move into the weekly magizoology lesson from here. And can you guess what the magical beast this week is?
What? You rescue these creatures?
Yes, that's right. Rescue, nurture, and protect them. I'm gently trying to educate my fellow wizards about them. Come on.
I'm going to guess that it's... it's probably the things in the forest, maybe. Something in the forest with four legs.
Unicorns?
Wow. They have four legs.
Right.
Wow. Well, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
No, we're actually going to cover the centaurs this week because they play a bigger part in this chapter, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so interesting. We talked about this before in a previous episode. It is weird that they are considered beasts.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is even though they are, you know, more intelligent, they actually are, if you want to measure it as intelligent as humans, who knows?
Right, right.
Depending on the definition of intelligent, but they definitely can talk, can think, can live in groups.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely are very proud beings.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought of Jar Jar Binks when he runs into Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi and they talk about his intelligence, and he is like, I speak. Like, as if like he's him speaking makes him like intelligent.
How dare you compare Jar Jar Binks
to centaurs? How dare you
put them on the same level?
Just kidding. We're talking about intelligence.
What would Ronan and Bane say?
They'd probably blown out of their minds at that type of individual. I don't know those planets. Tatooine, Naboo.
Now we're going to study their movements too. Yeah. Wow. It's confusing.
So, centaurs.
Centaurs have a MOM classification, I mean, of 4 X's. And there's a footnote because typically that means dangerous, requires specialist knowledge and skilled wizard may handle. But the centaur is given in a 4X classification, not because it is unduly aggressive. Unduly aggressive, but because it should be treated with great respect.
Almost like me.
I was going to say almost like Buckbeak.
Hippogriffs.
The same applies to merpeople and unicorns. So they are mentioned in the same...
You know, how dare you?
Wow.
How dare you, sweetie?
What?
You had the option here. You could have chosen centaurs or unicorns. And you chose centaurs to cover.
Well, maybe we're going to talk about unicorns next time.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
We actually should. I would love to study what unicorns are in the wizarding world.
You know who would love to study?
Oh, we should have Rachel on.
Yes. Could we not have her talk about
it?
She could
tell
us. With
her unicorn outfit?
Her princess outfit.
Absolutely,
My goodness. She could just tell us. We wouldn't even look at the book.
But
we would just say, tell us.
We can't tell her, though, that it's about Harry Potter because she doesn't like Harry Potter that much.
Not yet.
We got to get her.
She didn't used to like Star Wars either. And then she saw Baby Yoda. And now she's just like, she has a Star Wars backpack.
That's true.
And t-shirts.
Because
so
Baby Yoda.
It just
Baby
takes
Yoda's
time.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so centaurs. The centaur has a human head, torso, and arms joined to a horse's body, which may be any of several colors. Being intelligent and capable of speech, it should not, strictly speaking, be termed a beast.
We should record these episodes when I'm tired more. I'm having fun.
Good.
So.
That's the most important part.
Right.
It should be fun, right? One more time. Being intelligent and capable of speech, it should not, strictly speaking, be talking about being intelligent.
Go ahead.
Being intelligent and capable of speech, it should not, strictly be speaking. What the heck?
Can I read it? Look,
please.
Hand it over. What is it?
I'm just wondering. Make sense of this sentence.
The centaur was a human head, torso, and arms joined to a horse's body, which may be any several colors. Being intelligent and capable of speech, it should not, strictly speaking, be termed a beast. But by its own request, it has been classified as such by the Ministry of Magic. See the introduction to this book. The centaur is forest-dwelling. Centaurs are believed to have originated in Greece, though there are now centaur communities in many parts of Europe. Wizarding authorities in each of the countries where the centaurs are found have allocated areas where the centaurs will not be troubled by muggles. However, centaurs stand in little need of wizard protection, having their own means of hiding from humans. Should I continue? Yeah, I will. Last paragraph. The ways of the centaur are shrouded in mystery. They are, generally speaking, as mistrustful of wizards as they are of muggles, and indeed seem to make little differentiation between us. They live in herds ranging in size from 10 to 50 members. They are reputed to be well-versed in magical healing, divination, archery, and astronomy. And I would also like to make a footnote in this portion of the podcast that if you do happen to smell my feet right now, They are. Goodness, just took my socks off and like shoes. What's going on?
Well, you went to the gym earlier.
I'm sorry. I just thought it was funny. So I can't behave this episode. I just can't.
That's fine.
Are you mad at me?
Well, no, we're just glad that people can't smell your feet.
Yeah, no, that was the joke. And I made a footnote about it. And
oh, no, I get it.
I'm just being ridiculous.
Yeah, centaurs. What do you think? What do you think about centaurs as we dive into the chapter also? Well, we still have to read the summary, but
I think they know a whole lot about what it means when Mars is bright tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that means something.
Yeah.
What it means, I don't know. They know. I also wonder if it's just something they do in front of wizards and they laugh about it later on. And they're like this big joke where it's just like every single time we see them, this is what we're going to say.
Yeah.
And if everyone does it, it'll be really funny.
Oh my gosh.
So, and then Frenzy's like, yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah. Do you think they have a good sense of humor?
Yeah, that, I mean, it is so cleverly hidden that I think it's that. No, I don't. It's clearly they have other things going on.
They remind you.
Hagrid calls them stargazers.
Yeah. They do remind you a little bit of the elves in Rings of Power, don't they? Mm.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I think in Harry Potter we get a more like a negative connotation with them as mm-hmm. if they're a little bit arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But not all of them. It's nice that we see different individuals here that act. I mean, Firenze, he acts on his own account and he's a rebel. He later joins the humans teaches them in their sacred art of divination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
True. I think I like him more now. Yeah. I mean, I liked him anyway. I mean, you know.
But you know what I think? Okay, we should actually dive into the chapter because it's more about the chapter than just about itself. Last question before we start, though. Would you want to have a centaur as a friend? Or, well, you can't really have them as, you know,
Firenze could be a friend. You know?
Right?
He's a friend to Harry Potter.
I think, in Rings of Power or Lord of the Rings, I like the elves.
Yeah.
I like elves. Because I feel like they're very, very creative too. They have
poetry,
a great nation.
Songs,
yeah.
And they're trying to create art. They're very artsy.
And
they're
a little bit like, I guess I do not like the arrogant part of them, mm-hmm. but I like, they're just a little bit of, like a little bit more like detached from everything. They just kind of live in their own world and
Appreciate certain different things that are like nature in the sky and stars. And
they're very connected to the trees. Yeah. And I mean, they live in the forest too. So mm-hmm. I would totally like to have one as a friend. Like, you know, if they were friendly towards me.
Yeah, for sure.
And just talk about things like, I would love to learn more about them and learn more about their culture and their mm-hmm. customs and how is their... Do you call them tribes or what do you call them? How are they groups organized? Herds, yeah.
Yeah.
Herds, yeah.
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 That's cool though. Yeah, I think to know more about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you know when Dumbledore goes down and he speaks to the Merking, right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, like if you were just to walk out to your backyard and it's like the forest is there, you walk up to it and you're leaning over the fence and hey, here comes my centaur friend Ferez. You know? And it's Ferez, and there he is. And
wait, Ferez.
Ferez, that's our guy. That's our local centaur, Ferez. Yeah. And he's just chilling out.
That's our new friend.
Telling us about the stars.
Brule and Ferez.
Yeah.
Ferez.
Yeah. Can you guys hear my stomach? So first is my feet, and now it's like my stomach. Can you guys hear that on the podcast? If you can, somebody's going back right now and cranking the audio. Oh, these dynamic microphones aren't going to pick that up. Oh, maybe. Anyway.
Okay. I would love to make you read this, but I forgot to copy and paste it into because I have a separate doc with all the chapter summaries and our other doc with all our notes for the chapter.
Yeah.
That's still the Norbert one. So Sorry.
Shame on you. Yeah,
I'm just going to go ahead and read it if you don't mind.
I don't mind. No.
Chapter 15, The Forbidden Forest. Because of their nightly adventure, Gryffindor is now in last place of the House Cup. The other Gryffindors are perplexed when they see the hourglasses with the house points displayed in the morning. Their Quidditch hero and some of his little friends have lost some 150 points overnight. Harry vows to himself to stop messing around and instead focus on his studies. He, Hermione, Neville, and Draco, however, yet have to serve their very questionable detention in the Forbidden Forest, which is clearly forbidden for students. At least, they go to serve the detention with Hagrid, who announces the task to them. They need to find an injured unicorn in the forest. Hagrid, who is friends with Harry and Hermione, pairs Neville up with Malfoy and Fang, and the two groups split up to search on two different paths. Harry's group is alarmed when they hear something strange. Hagrid raises his bow, but the creature turns out to be friendly towards Hagrid, somewhat. It's a centaur named Ronan. Hagrid asks him if he's seen anything suspicious that could have hurt the unicorn, but Ronan's answers turn out to be very ambiguous. Another centaur, Bane, joins them and answers Hagrid's questions just as vaguely. Annoyed with the conversation, Hagrid walks off with Harry and Hermione. He explains that centaurs have deep minds, but don't reveal much about what they know to humans. Suddenly, the three see red sparks, which means Neville, Malfoy, and Fang must be in trouble. Hagrid runs off to help, leaving Harry and Hermione alone on the path. He returns with the others, angry with Malfoy, who had just tried to scare Neville. Hagrid has no other choice and pairs Harry up with Malfoy and Fang. After about half an hour of walking and Harry listening to Malfoy complaining, they finally find the unicorn. It's already dead, and as Harry approaches it, a hooded figure crawls across the ground and starts drinking the unicorn's blood. Malfoy and Fang both take flight as the figure begins moving towards Harry. Just before the hooded creature reaches him, another centaur shows up to Harry's rescue. Firenze even lets Harry ride on his back, and the two make their escape back to Hagrid and the rest of the group. On their way, they meet the other centaurs from earlier. Bane and Ronan are disgusted to see Firenze let a human ride on his back, let alone the Potter boy. They warn Firenze not to tell Harry what they have seen in the movements of the planets. Firenze stands by his decision to oppose the thing that is crawling around the forest, even if it means helping humans, and he gallops off with Harry. Still, he doesn't answer any of Harry's questions, nor does he explain why Bane and Ronan were angry. But through some of Firenze's vague hints, Harry can figure out that it was Voldemort who was drinking the unicorn's blood. He also realizes that Lord Voldemort must be the one trying to get to the powerful Philosopher's Stone. Back in the common room, Harry tells Ron and Hermione what he saw and heard, concluding that Snape is trying to steal the stone for Voldemort, and that Voldemort, once he has the stone, would probably come for Harry. Hermione tries to comfort him, assuring that he wouldn't try anything as long as Dumbledore...
Okay. It's okay. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
I have one freaking sentence left. Okay. Hermione tries to comfort him, assuring that he wouldn't. What
kind of comforting is what we're talking about?
Hermione tries to comfort. Wow, thank you for starting this one sentence before I'm done.
Sorry.
Assuring him that he wouldn't try anything as long as Dumbledore is around. Harry goes to bed exhausted, but when he pulls back his sheets...
Hermione is there waiting for him. And she says, I will comfort thee. Fanfic all over the place.
Oh my gosh. Harry goes to bed exhausted.
I don't even know what's after pulls the cover. What is under the cover? I have no clue.
Okay, come on, Lottie. Harry goes to
What happens? I don't like. Is it just one line?
Have you seen that video of that bride who cannot stop laughing during the same?
Yeah.
I feel like that person right now.
Pull it together. Hey, look at me.
Okay, come on. It's too late. I'm just so tired. Harry.
Just tell me what it says.
Harry.
It's actually on
that. Okay, Harry goes to bed exhausted.
Yeah.
But when he... when he pulls back his sheets.
Yeah, when he pulls one out. I'm on, like, I've been waiting for 10 minutes to find out.
He finds...
What's he find?
He finds...
An invisibility cloak.
There, waiting for him.
With Hermione underneath, all right.
And...
Sorry, go ahead.
A note pinned to the cloak.
Yeah.
A note pinned to the cloak says, just in case.
Just in case what?
It was just in case.
Just in case. Just in case left it. We've always wondered who left the cloak. It was just in case.
Oh, wow. Wasn't that funny at all? But, oh, well. My throat hurts.
Are we done? Is that it?
That's it.
So that was the, I'm looking at the clock over here on that, and you started reading. This is no joke. This is no joke. You started reading the summary at 32 minutes. No, maybe it was like 34, 35. It is now 50 minutes. It is 15 minutes later, if not 18. I got to go back and check. Woo, that is the longest summary we've ever had.
And whose fault is that?
I don't, you wrote it and you read it. All I did was try to help. All I did was try to help. Okay.
Let's talk about this chapter to find out what Harry finds underneath his sheets.
Well, what's crazy is my opening line, I'm not even making this up, my opening note for the Forbidden Forest chapter was, Harry and Hermione messed up. So, I mean, maybe something to do with the cloak. I don't know.
It does.
It is. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. So, yeah, they messed up, you know? And unfortunately, it's just costing them each 50 points across the board. So,
and Neville.
Who actually
didn't really mess up, but yeah.
And I have a point about this. So we had such a long chapter summary that I'm not going to go in all the different details. I'm just going to give you my notes. And I said long and wonderful chapter
summary.
No,
I should keep them shorter.
Oh, no. Actually, look at me. I actually think it's great because then we don't have to summarize the whole chapter.
True.
We can just do our big takeaways and what we think is cool and fun, that's the whole point. Give the summary. Okay, cool. It does prevent you from trying to hit every single detail because people are like, hey, we've read the chapter. What do you guys think about it, okay?
No, actually... Yep. I heard on other podcasts that they don't always read the chapter. They just like to look.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They want you to tell them, that's that chapter.
That's what we do before. We give you the context. We provide you with that. And then we give you little extra nuggets like the broom shed in the last episode.
The broom shed.
Anyway, maybe, you know, the invisibility cloak was used to sneak out to the broom shed. Who knows? No, I said they messed up. And what my note here on Neville is this. Have you ever been in a situation where telling the truth to one friend could jeopardize the relationship with another? What's the right thing to do here? Do you tell Neville about the dragon and that it was real, thus sort of risking Hagrid's involvement? You know what I mean? Like, because that's the whole dilemma is that McGonagall comes to this conclusion and says, I see what's going on here. So you were trying to get Draco in trouble, blah, 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 blah. And then you thought, you know, he would hear this. And then Neville heard it too. If Neville doesn't hear it, they don't really care. But since Neville heard it, he thinks he's been led astray by his friends.
Yeah.
And that hurts. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Because what's the brave thing to do?
Right.
Gryffindors, huh? What's the brave thing to do? Do you, I mean... Do you wait until Hagrid's out of the clear and then go back and explain that, or do you bring that other individual, Neville, into your confidence when you're he's not someone who you mm-hmm. have prior, his new friend?
Mm-hmm.
He's still, you know, friendly. He's a part of their group, but yeah. he's on the outer fringes of that
right.
group. So, just think that's interesting.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah, I mean, I think Harry did the right thing. He tried to let him know. That is, it actually says he tried to signal him
with his eyes and his gaze.
That is not true. We mm-hmm. didn't lead you astray. Mm-hmm. We didn't try to pull you into this or fool anyone really.
Right.
Without yep. telling him too many details. I think, and I hope that Neville caught that. We never really find out.
Yeah.
But it seemed a little bit like Harry was trying to, but he didn't succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would be a little bit, they messed up, but still, this is a little, Hagrid, why did you get that dragon egg?
I know, it's all Hagrid's fault. It's ridiculous.
But that's not how it works. You agreed to this, and you messed up, so it's your fault. But mm-hmm. at the same time, if I was Hagrid leading them to the Forbidden Forest, I would be apologizing.
And you'd be guilty.
But he can't
guilty.
In front of Draco
no,
and
can't.
Neville.
Uh-uh.
But still, when he's alone with them, he could at least have apologized.
Right. I don't really know when the moment would come up, but definitely owes him one. So I thought about this the next morning that you wake up or whatever. Even the Quidditch team's upset, right? Even Quidditch is awkward. So it's really weird there. Did Hermione have some consequences for this? We don't really. She was more left alone because Harry's mm-hmm. sort of the dominating sort of figure just because of his legend, and he's the he's a first year seeker on the Quidditch team and famous Harry Potter.
Yeah, so. It feels like if they, it's a school and stories like that, they spread so fast. But it feels like when they tell them to each other, it would be like, oh yeah, Harry and his friends.
Mm-hmm,
and not like Harry, Hermione, and Neville,
Right. So, okay, think about this in terms of a modern school. Imagine if you came back from the weekend and you started out on Monday to find out that some of your group members had done something stupid over the weekend and it cost you points or left you without a group to complete a project.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of because we don't really have the house points system,
right,
but I'm thinking
if
you're working in a group, what would that be like? Or
like
if you're
a
on
big
a team,
project and all your points are gone.
Right.
That let's you've say, been working for.
Well, let's say you've been running drills with your basketball team or your volleyball team or whatever, and you're really mm-hmm. important. You're a well oiled chain in that system or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you then do something wrong and you're now the missing link.
Yeah,
and it's not the chain is not as well oiled as Filch thinks it should be.
Yeah.
So if that makes sense.
See, I feel like if it's someone who earned a lot of points before that, like Hermione, probably there's this meme where it's like Hermione carrying. Is it?
Yeah, Gryffindor.
She's basically that guy who's carrying everyone on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's her with Gryffindor. And Harry won all the Quidditch games for them.
Right.
So if it was someone who really worked hard to gain points, I don't know if I would be that upset at that person if I was like, they probably made
50 you're not,
points more than I did. So
right, if you're not contributing as much,
Yeah, how can they say that? I mean,
I
guess like the Quidditch team did.
But I wonder if people keep track of their individual points.
Oh, I bet. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
100%.
Sort of this year I've contributed 128. Yeah.
Definitely. They would make a competition out of it, yeah.
That's kind of cool. Mm. Yeah, I always try to think back to what it would be like in modern terms, that kid who messes up or you're doing a portion of the paper, right, and you decide to copy and paste yours, but everybody else wrote theirs original, and then boom, your portion is flagged. Then you got to get in this argument with the teacher, we didn't copy and paste it. He did. That was his portion. Well, how do I know? Weird things like that. Trust me, over the years, I've seen all sorts of craziness go down. But lessons, chances to learn and stuff like that. That's what school's about. Yeah. But McGonagall says that she's never been this disappointed.
Yeah.
She's disgusted.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusted. Appalled.
Yeah.
And I am with her 100%.
Yeah.
How dare they?
Yeah.
I am appalled at Hagrid. But anyway, yeah, so...
I think now, she was very disappointed that Malfoy actually told the truth, because she was 100% sure that he was just making this up to get the Gryffindors into trouble.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, and so this is, she's seeing this sort of rivalry back and forth, and we need to be above that, and didn't expect it, definitely didn't expect it from Hermione and everything. So,
oh, yeah, true.
Which is wild. Oh, I feel bad for Hermione. She's just staring at her slippers.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, oh, I admit, this is not good.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, yeah. Now, here's something interesting, an important lesson. And if you hear something, say something. Albus Dumbledore he's kind of like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
In that a little bit of information, just give him a little bit, and he can take it pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
So, this little bit about Quirrell talking to, quote, someone or himself, and we would kind of say, or his turban, right? That might be all Dumbledore needs to keep a closer eye on him.
Yeah.
And so that's the mistake sometimes, is that, like, just because you don't know and there's no proof or whatever, you got a gut feeling, you got a suspicion, it's whatever. You're not, I think it's the way you frame it. If you start with a kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know if I should even be telling you this or whatever, you can always open with those types of statements just so that person knows you're not coming here trying to, with next to no information, making wild accusations, but you're just putting it on the radar. Like, I don't know, it seemed weird. It could be nothing. Maybe I'm totally wrong, Professor, but I just wanted to throw this out there because it could be a lot of things. Maybe he's got some real problems. Maybe he's got some things that the staff needs to go check on. Maybe he lost a loved one or something. You know what I mean? Like, you think about it in that terms.
Oh, yeah.
Go check on him.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I read a really, really good story with the elementary kids the other day.
Did
where
you?
Where they are supposed to learn from that story that if someone behaves a certain way, or even in that case, it was mean. It was a mean boy
to the rest of the class. Oh, yes. You told me about this. Yeah.
And then the class teacher later, it turns out that, his mother is actually sick. So that's why he started behaving like that. And it was just supposed to teach the kids, you know, there's often a reason behind, unfortunately, why people behave a certain way
that is
definitely not.
Yes, it's not as
favorable.
So here's my next point. This kind of goes right into it, which is, no, it's fine. This is all really good. Perception, right? So the kids are wrong, and they are actively trying to get Snape in trouble and sacked. We don't mention this enough, actually, that the students are actively spreading rumors to Hagrid and to one another that it's Snape. Snape tried to, jinx my broom. Snape is trying to steal this thing. He's now involved in assault on a student and theft.
Mm-hmm.
They're accusing him of these things. Mm-hmm. They want to get him sacked. They want him fired from his job. We just dismiss the fun story. It's whatever. I mean, you know, teacher in this situation is sort of untouchable. But isn't that, it kind of dawned on me, like, actually, as we read this through, the first time it's meant for suspense building and all this sort of stuff. But they're wrong.
Yeah.
They're actually wrong.
Yeah.
And the kids are wrong about Snape.
Yeah.
And yet they come to, so given this evidence, air quote, evidence that they find that is, The word would be damning. Sorry, it would be that basically means you for sure are the culprit here. You're the one who's in trouble, and they find it's they're wrong. The conclusion that they draw from the evidence is wrong.
Yeah.
So that's what you're kind of talking about. It's like, well, we have all this evidence that this kid is mean.
Yeah.
Or that this person is doing. There's another great little I forget what it's called, but it's about a teacher on his way to school, and every day he grabs an apple from the apple stand. And the boy following him really thinks that the teacher's stealing apples.
Oh.
And he starts to spread rumors, tells one friend.
Yeah.
They tell another friend. Then they all watch across the street. Look at him. He stole another apple.
Yeah.
And this goes on and on and on. He's paid for those apples up front.
I think I've heard that story before.
They don't know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then they come to find out that, oh, wow, he didn't actually steal that. He just likes to walk by, talk to the shopkeeper,
right,
pick up his apple for the day, and move on.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I don't even know that that's exactly what happens, but it's sort of the gist of the story that I remember.
Yeah, it's a nice story.
And times when you listen for it, Harry makes these statements. He makes them about, like, later on we find out, oh, he's actually right about Draco, or, oh, he's kind of right about this person.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they are drawing incorrect conclusions.
Yeah.
And what's up? I mean, they're actively trying to get people, like, fired or in trouble or whatever. And it's just interesting. So in this situation, like, Snape is actually protecting him.
Right.
So.
Right, true.
I mean, like, anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, all of this sort of leads to, the big detention in the Forbidden Forest, which Lottie's going to take us into here in just a second. But I thought, you know, all of this is just also think about this from your perspective, going back into school and being that student who did do something wrong. Oh, my gosh. I skipped school one time. I think I told you this story.
Mm-hmm,
and I got a Friday school. My sister got called down to the office. I wasn't there. And she tells me about it. And all the kids are like, I walk in the building, like, your sister got called down to the office. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure she did. You know, and I'm walking in. I've already been yelled at by my mom and everything. And so I find my sister, and she's just like, where have you been? You know, and she got called down to the office. And she's like, I told him I didn't know where you were. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, good job.
Wait, she did know?
She didn't know. I kept her in the dark because I'm a good brother. And I said, I started grinning and laughing, and she's like, you're in trouble, aren't you? And I was like, yeah. So I handed her she's like, well, how am I going to get home? I'm like, you got to ride the bus. And she's like, what? She hated riding the bus, but like, I was her ride home, you know, and I got grounded myself. So I was in Friday school that night.
Oh, your poor sister.
But the whole school was talking, you know, the whole school was talking about it. Like, and then when I showed up for like the Friday night basketball game, I got the applause, and people are like, what'd he do? Like, Ez never does anything wrong.
I don't
What's
like
going
that.
On? I know.
That you got applause.
Applause.
That
you. It wasn't good.
Were allowed to go to that game.
It's not good, was it?
No.
I shouldn't have been allowed to go.
Hey, but talking about detentions and measures to teach the kids what's wrong and right.
Yeah.
Who do you think? Like, is it the house teacher who makes up the detention, who thinks about what would be an appropriate way to
thank
teach
goodness
them.
It's not Filch.
Yeah, not anymore.
He does, you know. He,
I mean, that actually
the old ways.
Reminds you again that the wizarding world, it's probably not been that long since we're kind of, it's almost like some things seem like they're very medieval, right after the medieval age.
It makes me wonder what
you
we're going to see in Hogwarts Legacy with detention.
I know,
you know? Like, good grief, Poppy
That's
Sweeting. I'm
funny.
Worried about her. You
oh
know?
My goodness,
she's going straight to detention.
I know that. I mean, it's supposed to be also like a little device, a little joke for kids to make them scared and all that
scared
stuff.
What?
But
they,
if you talk about it from a point of from a teacher's point of view. What kind of detention is appropriate to give a student for what kind of behavior?
So
how severe is that?
This is crazy. This is crazy. But like, my dad used to get a paddle. The teachers used to actually use.
Oh yeah, my grandpa too.
Wooden paddle, and I was like, "You're joking me!" And no, absolutely not. He absolutely that was a thing. So, and that wasn't that long ago when you think about it. So in your terms, I think that's something probably. J.K. Rowling was like, you know, back in my day, this is what happened, and we don't do that anymore. But it's just wild to think about.
Yeah.
Terrible, but whatever. Yeah.
I asked some folks on Instagram. Folks, I got that word from you.
Some folks.
Folks. I asked. I cannot talk tonight.
It's okay.
But it's okay. You know what? I thought about it so many times. I should just talk like I would in class because my voice changes. I'm very much more aware of my pronunciation, and it changes into a mix of like a
little British,
European, British kind of thing, because sometimes the R gets me, the American R.
Yeah.
Because I'm around you guys all the time. I do it now too, but sometimes that's really difficult on my throat and
right.
like the
Right, so just cut it
roll
out.
Your tongue back.
Yeah, just forget
that.
The R's.
So maybe I just should pretend I'm in front of a class.
I think people would like that. Now that you've established that that's a voice that you can do, that you have your teacher voice,
yeah.
you can turn that on. And it's much more, it's a crisp, you know, yeah. clipped
maybe.
Voice. I like it.
But it doesn't, it can't sound forced, you know, forced.
Forced, yeah. Forced. No, it does force because you are actually, forced. Especially when you were teaching your students in Germany, yeah. that's what you did, which was
true.
You conjure it
I
up.
I should just, yeah, imagine I'm teaching my students.
Wow.
Hi. And I told, hi, you're in detention. Oh my
Whoa.
Gosh.
Whoa.
because you're on okay. your phone. You can't be on your phone.
This is where my notes are.
Oh. Well, I guess nowadays we can allow that.
Okay.
Back to detention, though.
Okay.
What did we... I was wondering who gives detention. And I asked you guys on Instagram, what did you think of the logic behind giving a detention where the students are forced to be out of bed at night?
Yeah.
When...
Pretty crazy.
The detention, the crime they committed, wrongdoing they did. What the mm-hmm. heck? I don't know what I'm saying.
What they did that they shouldn't have done.
Yeah. that was being out of bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
Who came up with that detention? I mean, I guess like there is probably... it's interesting Hagrid mentions it later that...
Bedtime.
For he says to Draco, who is not amused when he finds out that he's there. We go, not amused when he finds out that they're going into the forest at night, and Hagrid kind of tells him, "Well, you better do something that's useful
mm-hmm.
when right. you have detention. Like, what good does it do if you write lines?"
Right.
So, but then we have other detentions like Harry helping.
Lockhart
with his fan mail
mm.
and Ron and Harry actually they're polishing the
trophies
yeah. Quidditch or whatever kind of trophies
yeah
what yeah I mean that's actually something useful more than writing lines I guess
mm.
But that is something that is tedious where students get bored after a while and I feel like yeah that is a punishment for them
mm-hmm. yeah
right.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. But what good does it do? In McGonagall says it. It's dangerous times.
Dangerous times. Time,
how,
yeah. And
yeah.
let's just and up they, the ante and go into the forest.
Harry Potter out there.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, who made that call? That is a pretty ridiculous call. Not going to lie.
Most of you said it. It is irresponsible. And mm-hmm. actually, Tiffany said... Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but I enjoyed it.
she yeah, enjoyed
the part in the forest. And I actually enjoy. I mean that it's good, very good for the story and the book because we mm-hmm. get to explore the Forbidden Forest, which is cool. Like
yeah.
we get to
well,
see all these creatures and different new beasts
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
not beasts, as we
yeah.
don't really know what they want to be. And then they meet. Them, the centaurs. They're looking mm-hmm. for the unicorn, find that blood everywhere. And then we kind of think, okay, it has to be something scary because it's the Forbidden Forest. There's scary stuff in there. But then Hagrid is obviously friends with everyone.
Yeah.
So I would feel so much safer with Hagrid than Fang. I remember in the movies
yeah.
they
yeah.
made it like, Draco was like, I get Fang.
Mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
Hagrid is like, well, fine, but he's a coward.
He's a coward. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Poor Neville has to go with Draco and Harry, Hermione,
yeah.
and Hagrid. They meet for, not Ferenczi, but Ronan and Bane.
Yeah.
And yep. we get the first glimpse of they're on a different level in terms
yeah.
of. They don't really want to say what's up. They're very
vague. They don't really
vague.
Want to interact, yeah.
They are seeing something in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's something is happening. Something odd is happening.
Right.
And they don't even convert. I mean, I guess they talk to Hagrid, but otherwise they don't really converse with humans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
They.
Unless they have to, they try to stay away.
So they definitely do know something just from watching the stars, and they there is some kind of logic to how they read the stars. There must be, because we know Ferenczi later on becomes a divination teacher. Mm-hmm. And it's a different kind of divination that Trelawney teaches, and I think it's cool that we learn there is different techniques
to look into, like the future divination. Yeah. And things like that. Yeah.
Hagrid is definitely annoyed with them. He can't deal with like those creatures who he's fine talking to them and meeting them from time to time, but he doesn't really like the vagueness. He wants answers.
He wants to know what's going on. He's in there looking for a unicorn, and they are. Right. That's the other crazy thing is, like, you guys don't want to help. A unicorn has been killed.
Yeah.
And you act like you haven't seen anything. It's a pure creature. Been killed. Yeah. I was out on. Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's not cool.
Not cool at all.
But I guess, like, their whole reasoning behind it is we don't want to meddle with things that, you know, with the human stuff. Yeah. We don't want to get involved in it.
Sure.
I was going to ask you, do you think that's okay, since we know that humans sometimes treated creatures not the way they should. Mm-hmm. And humans have had that arrogance. Oh, we're the top of the creation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Better than everyone else, more intelligent, and so on.
Right, so it's almost like showing, it's same the thing that they do in Middle Earth, which was with elves and stuff, they put men, you know, below them, and so it's what's that feel like, and, you know, it's really good. It's really good to kind of help raise awareness in terms of what you're being more perceptive and more empathetic and understanding other groups that are not you and not your group.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's a cool thing. It's interesting. And that's also just gets their culture. It's who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're on another level.
Yeah.
So,
I think their culture would be, like I said earlier, would be very interesting to study and to learn more about that. But I definitely don't like, you know, how Bane and Ronan act. And I like Ferenczi. I like Ferenczi a lot more. And I think what he does is very brave. He goes against his own kind to help out, because he knows it's for they're fighting a bigger evil. It's almost like in Rings of Power, where different people have to befriend or work together. I don't want to say they all have to be friends, but they realize we have to work together because there's a greater evil in this world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is for sure.
And this is the first time... This chapter, it's the first time when we meet Voldemort, right? Mm. Because before we were only told about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this time we meet at least parts of him.
Yeah, like the shadow. Like
he's not his real self, obviously.
Right. They hear a noise they've never heard, and Hagrid's like, "That doesn't belong here." And you're like, "Whoa, what is that?" Right.
Yeah.
And it was the thing that's feeding on the unicorn. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
But you kind of wonder, how did he separate himself? What's that? Because it says it's Quirrell, isn't it? Is it Quirrell in that? Is he the hooded figure?
I think so.
Just puts his head backwards down to the unicorn so Voldemort can drink it? Or does he drink it?
Whoa.
You know?
Whoa.
Or is Voldemort separate from him? No, I don't think so.
I feel like I've always thought that Voldemort was separate.
Because they make it look like that in the movies. Yeah, I feel like it looks like he's floating or something.
The swishing sound that we heard is not the normal. Like, Hagrid's like, "I've never heard that before." And so you're like, "Well, wait a second. That you've heard a wizard walking through the woods." So it feels like maybe he's just possessing Quirrell. So could he, a part of him... I don't know.
Yeah, but...
Interesting. I'm imagining Quirrell doing the whole... what do you call it? Where you go underneath the pole. You do the... Like, you lean backwards and you go underneath the pole and they move it down. Yeah, so right now something you guys do. what is that called? Anyway, and you just, yeah, you kind of lean backwards, like a bridge, if you're doing like a bridge in yoga or something. And you would just...
Okay, and I feel like I have read this before. On the wiki, it says, as he was possessing Quirrell and inhabiting his body at the time, Quirrell drank the blood on Voldemort's behalf. Wow, now does that make Quirrell immortal too?
So they're saying that Quirrell drank it?
Yeah, for him, on his behalf.
Yeah. Interesting.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I'm just still imagining Quirrell bending over backwards.
Well, I guess it keeps the drinker alive. Mm-hmm. So Quirrell wouldn't really need it because he is alive. He's not, without Voldemort, he would be fine, right? So he's drinking it for Voldemort, so he's being kept alive. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. But yeah, it's actually him. I guess, I don't know what Hagrid hears, what kind of noise that is.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an encounter where Harry feels something is different.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just any other creature. His forehead is hurting. His scar is hurting. There's a pain. And that's the first time we really have that direct connection between he sees Voldemort or mm-hmm. Voldemort. Maybe it's because Voldemort sees him and then his scar hurts.
Yeah. Proximity.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But then Ferenczi shows up.
Yes. Thankfully.
We don't know what would have happened without him.
Yep.
Harry should have sent red sparks up, but he didn't think about that at that moment. Maybe he did, but you don't know how far the others were away.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely are glad that Ferenczi showed up and rescues him. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like...
You shouldn't
be here,
buddy.
I feel like they are powerful beings.
Yes.
Because he just killed a unicorn. What keeps him from killing? Well, I guess he sprints off. He gallops away.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you feel like they're not... They know they shouldn't mess with him.
Well, also, you could just be startled. I mean, like, if you all of a sudden saw one centaur, there could be many more. And, you know, you're cornered. You're in a weakened state. You're not trying to fight. You're trying to get things that are keeping you alive, so you're weak.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to survive, yeah.
And then they meet Ronan and Bane again, and they're not amused to see Ferenczi having a human on their back. They think that's something to look down on. Like, only a common mule would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an insult to them.
I like mules.
Yeah.
What's wrong with a mule? Yeah.
What's the difference? What's a mule? What's
like
the
a donkey
difference between
and,
a mule and donkey?
Oh, I don't know. I thought they were the same. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I was just talking about donkeys and mules together in a group and then horses.
And okay, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, so they definitely don't think it's right, and they warn him not to tell him anything about mm-hmm. what they've seen in the planets and the movement of the planets, the stars. And here's the thing. Have they always seen stuff and that became true, all of it?
Do they have experience with that already? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. I think they just, people who make the prophecies, they don't ever really see them come to be, do they necessarily? I mean, I guess you do have some with Trelawney or whatever, but a lot of times people who prophesy and it happens way in the future, and they don't prophesy about things that are going to happen tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they do, I don't know. But I feel like that's, when you're getting into it, the reason it's sort of frowned upon is like, well, it's super vague, and it could be any time in the future, and aha, see, you know, on this random day when it did happen, I told you it happened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, I wonder, though, why they don't want to meddle with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
What's the reason? Because Ferenczi says it, this is greater than our pride. This is greater than, if I have to work with humans and help them fight off that evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That great evil. Then I will. Just me as a being mm-hmm. is here is not as important as a great cause.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I guess, what he's saying. I feel like he is already a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because he continues working with humans, but he's way friendlier with Hagrid and later becomes a teacher at the school. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like he is already somewhat of an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Or he also doesn't shy away from that.
Yeah.
So very, very brave character. Yet he still doesn't tell Harry everything. He just kind of gives him hints.
Yeah.
And Harry has to figure it out by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. So, you know, he kind of explains to him what the unicorn does, why that creature drank the blood, that it helps him survive. And, hey, can you think of anything, anyone who would want to regain power?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what's in the castle? How do they know? How do centaurs know what's in the castle? If that's something they read in the stars, well, then it's really powerful to be good at divination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No idea on that one. That was going to be one of our short ideas, which was like,
right,
how does he know what is in the castle?
Yeah.
And how does he know the Sorcerer's Stone is in there?
Yeah.
Because he says it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I have a tiny theory. Maybe they read it in the stars. Maybe somehow they know Nicholas Flamel, because it says Nicholas Flamel is also good at divination.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's any kind of connection, but at the same time,
it'd be cool.
Would he tell them about it? Maybe he learned his art from them and they are actually on good terms. I mean, think about it, how old Flamel is.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me wonder how old centaurs get.
Yeah,
I feel like they are ancient creatures.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been around for a long time, and that's why they know how to read the stars so well. Anyway, yeah, how do they know? If you have any theories, please let us know. Mine is maybe they had some kind of connection to Flamel. Maybe they did actually read it somewhere because they're so old and so wise and so experienced in reading the stars, telling the future, that they know. What's that?
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that Brule?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I think he's telling us that we should come to an end.
Yeah.
Good things have to come to an end.
Yes, they do. They do. So, all right, friends.
No, wait.
Yep.
Harry goes back, right, and says, here's what's up. Not good. I think Voldemort's trying to come back and kill me. Ron's super scared of the name. Hermione's like, no. No one's going to try anything. As long as Dumbledore is around, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing we know, Dumbledore's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the cloak is back.
Yeah.
How did Dumbledore know the cloak was up there? He probably knew when he heard the story from McGonagall. It's like, oh, these kids, why did they forget the cloak upstairs?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and then he brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on Harry's bed.
In case he needs it. Just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
What if, like, Neville or Seamus or Dean saw him? It's like, Professor Dumbledore? What are you doing here? What are you doing in our dormitory? I'm just dropping off Harry's clothes. Sorry. Okay, this is going in a really wrong direction. Let's end this, please.
Please. Well, friends, the wisdom is that these episodes have taken us deep into the night, and the candles are burning low, and don't go into the Forbidden Forest. Your chains.
Don't just always
on
believe
your bike.
The stars.
Don't just always believe the stars.
Don't believe what's said in your horoscope either.
Yeah, don't believe any of that stuff either. So, with all that, friends, next time we'll record earlier. We'll try. Anyways, we'll see. It's been crazy. Been a busy time. But it is bedtime for us. And so if you're asleep, wake up. It's time for you to get going at work, whatever you're doing.
If you're in the car, don't fall asleep.
If you are, wake up. But yeah. Anyway, friends, hey, appreciate you guys. Appreciate you listening all the way here to the end. We think you're wonderful
jiggly
people.
Pop.
Lottie's going to sing you guys to sleep.
Jigglypuff, Jigglypuff. I don't know how the... English version.
I don't know. No, I have no idea what you're No idea what you're singing over there. I'm going to do my outro so that way Lottie can do it, and I'm just going to walk away. All right, friends. Wait, thanks for the thanks for hanging out this week with us. We appreciate you. And for tuning into Shell College Radio 94.7 COZY, we hope you'll join us in the future. We do thoroughly enjoy meeting those new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons!
If you don't want to miss the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and or follow us on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to the moon and back, and to Mars and back. Next week, we will discuss chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone through the trap door. We would love to welcome you back here in our cozy little cottage for that. We know it's not much, but it's home. I hit the microphone again with my chin.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.